We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Question.
Yes.
Now, our solid waste assessment is $140 for a visit, and one-third of that for honey camp. So when I made that motion, I assumed that stays the same. Is that right?
I haven't heard any change.
And heard any change.
And it'll be, you'll actually vote on that in a second.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second, and this motion was approved. Item four, the board to hold second and final public hearing on the millage and budget for fiscal year 2018-2019 set for this date at 5:01 p.m. And A is adopt the final millage. And Danielle, you want to tell us about the general fund?
Before you can do that, we just let the public know that the advertisement for tonight's meeting was in the Friday, September 14th edition of the hearing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so as a refresher of what we've discussed in budget workshops in last week, we will start with the certified values received from the property appraiser for the year 2018. General fund, the gross taxable value is $1,346,000,000. The certified value for 2017 was $1,327,000,000. Which is a gross taxable value increase of $19,744,000, which is 1.49% increase. For the MSTU, the unincorporated area, the gross taxable value for 2018 is $1,116,000,000. Certified value for 2017 was $1,100,000,000, with a gross taxable increase of $16,463,000, which is also 1.49% increase. Alright, and this shows the tentative millage rate that was adopted last week compared to the rollback rate. The current millage rate is 7.2426 mills for the general fund and 1.1677 mills for MSTU for a total of 8.4103. The aggregate millage rate is 8.2101 and the aggregate rollback rate is 8.1920. The aggregate millage rate is higher than the aggregate rollback rate by 0.22%. The rollback rate is the millage rate that will generate the same ad valorem tax revenue as the current year based on the current year gross taxable values. As a result of the increase of gross taxable values for 2018, the rollback rate would represent a millage rate decrease. And based on the 2018 values, countywide, one mill would generate $1,346,956. So by keeping the millage rate at 7.2426, it will generate $9,755,471, which is a 1.49% increase. In the MSTU fund, one mill, in the MSTU fund, one mill will generate $1,116,730. So by keeping the millage rate the same, it will generate $1,304,000, which is a 1.49% increase over 2017. In total, by keeping the millage rates the same, the 18-19 fiscal year should generate $11,059,478, which is an increase of $162,223. And this is the overall for the entire budget revised based on the changes we've made during all the budget workshops. So the total budget for 2018-19 will be $44,912,696. And I can go further if you want me to, or I can leave it at that. It's up to you.
Are there any questions about the millage, either general fund or MSTU, or concerning the budget? Does anyone from the public have any questions, concerns, comments? If not, then we will vote on the millage for the general fund.
That was 7.2426.
Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Dennis, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Now for the MSTU fund is 1.1677 mils. Is there a motion?
Motion. Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. On B of number 4, adopt the final assessment resolutions for Warrior Creek Subdivision, Deerwood at the Beaches Subdivision, Ocean Pond Subdivision, Strickland's Landing Subdivision, Oak Ridge Estates Unit 1 Subdivision, Bowen Subdivision, Steenhatchee Acres Subdivision, Gulf Coast Estates Subdivision, and Scallop Bay Subdivision for fiscal year
2018-2019.
Madam Clerk, you got
one more.
Which one?
Gulf Coast Estate.
It's on you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, see.
Okay, on the Warrior Creek, Deerwood Beach Subdivision, and the Ocean Pond Subdivision, that rate is $35 per lot per year. On Strickland's Landing Subdivision, it's $50 per lot per year. Oak Ridge Estates Unit 1 Subdivision is $45 per lot per year. Bowen Subdivision is at $83.94 per lot per year. Steenhatchee Acres Subdivision is $291.59 per lot per year. Scallop Bay Subdivision is at $313.19 per lot per year. Gulf Coast Estate Subdivision is $320.70 per lot per year.
$320.70.
Anyone from the public wish to speak? Any questions from the board? If not, is there a motion?
I second.
And we have a motion from Commissioner Moody, second from Commissioner Dips. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. C. Adopt the solid waste assessment for fiscal year 2018-2019 at $140. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second. A motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. D. Adopt solid waste assessment for recreational vehicles or active RV power poles for fiscal year 2018-2019 at an amount equal to one-third of other dwelling units in the amount of $46.67.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Now, motion by Commissioner, yes.
Yes.
Yes, you can come forward.
Miller, Cedar Rapids. On the reduced waste management fee for RV lots and hunt clubs, there are several properties on the county tax records that have zero charges for landfill. There's also several that are live there full time and they still pay the $40. Why are the Kent lots only paying $40 when we're looking at $122,000 alone here on the solid waste collection? Can they not pitch in and pay their fair share? That operation runs 12 months out of the year, and the full-time residents here carry the burden.
Mr. Leggett, can you answer that?
I think it's assessment that y'all set quite a ways back. Give the honey lodges a break and the RVs.
But
it's been that way for quite a while.
Every response I've gotten is because they're part-time. Well, it doesn't matter. The roll-off site runs 12 months out of the year. There's health insurance, there's salaries, there's upkeep, there's equipment. It goes on, and it's open when they're here.
Is there anybody that verifies any of this?
Not sure. Probably the same situation.
Here's two of them.
Politics.
Full-time, rent-to-own, they pay zero. This one pays $40, and they live there full-time.
I'm full-time.
Hold on.
Does it have a hassle?
No, camper.
The campers, is everybody in there?
No landfill fee. Property address is 1382 Georgia Highway. Oh, that's their mailing address. Property address is Bonita, District 3. Mobile home. Thank you.
I think if anybody's got the discretion, so we'd be happy to look at it.
If you'll look through the tax records, there's boo-boos of them like this.
Okay.
A person that owns a part-time home, a beach home, a rental home, they pay and are assessed the full amount of $140. But we got part-time, as you're going to consider part-time RVs, they pay $40 or $46. What's the difference there? That's a little bit of discrimination.
I can tell you one reason why. It's, you know, anybody can go over there and fill out a form, and if they meet the poverty guidelines, they pay zero.
That's on solid waste?
On solid waste, yes.
Now, that I don't have a problem with, and I don't have a problem with giving a discount to disabled vets or widows either, but not the majority of them are Georgia people.
Well, I would say they're supposed to be checking those to see, and I think Mark Riggins is the one that checks that stuff.
And it's not that they're all here full time. I'm just saying the part timers that own property here, just like the rest of us, should pay the same amounts and the same fees for the same fee for the same service.
Okay, Commissioner
Spradley,
you have the floor.
Thank you. It's the taxpayer's responsibility to assess you. I notified them on several occasions that he sent people out to correct that. If you'll notice, there are several RVs that are moving in the beaches area. And the tax collector, whose job it is to do this, is not aware of them, but he will send people out as he becomes aware. I'm aware of several that he sent out and corrected these. Some are over-assessed and assessed too much. So just the tax collector, and I agree fully that, you know, everybody should pay their fair share of this tax collector's responsibility to assess those and make sure that he is right.
So is it the county commissioner in your district, you right now, is it your responsibility then to make them aware that there's somebody like that?
As I find them, I let them know, yes.
Are you speaking of the ones that are there full-time, or just RVs in general?
I'm speaking of all of them.
I agree.
If it comes to my attention, and you change it as well as I have, the people moving in, I simply sent an email to Mark Wiggins, asked him, there's a new, and I also had homeowners association mentioned it to me, and I sent him emails, and he reports back that he sent out his crew and, found discrepancies or didn't find discrepancies and so forth. It's
not just the new ones, it's the old ones. You go through tax records and pull up any of the properties in our district. Anything that has an RV on it is $40.
Well,
$46.
I try not to be the code police, but when
I'm
I
just
find
saying
out about
that,
it, I do
if, if we're going to have to pay $122,000 for roll off site equipment, they should pitch in.
Because
somehow
mark that down and finally agree on something.
That's
something that needs addressed. And like I said, a discount to a widow or a disabled veteran, I'm all about it.
Sure.
I'd like to know how you could judge if a person stayed there full of time or was that just a temp. How would you go about going to them and saying, how many days did you stay here this year? I mean,
you can't, and that's why they should all be charged the same across the board. I know of several people that live out of state that haul their recyclables and their trash down here and dump them in our dumpsters because they don't have that access to that in their own neighborhoods in Georgia.
Oh, yeah. I've seen
at
that.
Our expense.
I've seen that happen. But, I mean, there's a fine line between somebody that uses just a weekend hunting camp and staying there full of time. There's hunting camps that people live in full of time, and there's RVs and aluminum buildings all over the place of camps people living in.
Exactly, and I don't have a problem with that, other than what the ordinances need to be abided by, but everybody should be paying the same fee for the roll-off site, regardless of who you are and what you live in.
But if then the one that only uses it, maybe during hunting season, it'd be paying $140 for, you know.
How many people were in that camp?
Huh?
How many people were in the hunt camp?
Well, they were from 120 in some of them.
Okay, but divide that between 20 people.
I know, but I mean, the rest of the year, they're not there, you know.
Some of these homeowners down here don't come down but a couple times a year.
Wow.
They pay big bucks on property taxes.
Well, let me tell you this. I have a house at Dickel Beach.
Yes, ma'am.
I stayed in there a total of about 7 days this whole year.
Exactly.
I pay $140 a year of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I went at home, and I have a hunting camp. And I also pay water and sewer 12 months out of the year to help the other people down there have water and sewer. So, you know, it's a win-win. It's a win-win for these people that come and stay for just a few days.
Exactly, and I think we all need to pay the same for the same services.
I got a hunting camp at Big Spin River, and I pay $140 a year. And I always have, because I thought the right thing to do, you know, up front, you know, it's just no money.
There's a lot of money laying on the table that the county is leaving there to, majority of them are outside of, out of state, and they come here on part-time, and we are not going to pick it up. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, please. State your name and address.
Swellen in Gates Creek. I just wanted to answer your question about how would you know if a person is here full time. I know several individuals that their grandchildren go to school and see hatching. So that would be one way to verify if they're here full time. If their children attend Taylor County Public School, they're here full time. And there's quite a bit of them in hunting camps. There's some of them that are here during scallop season and during hunt, because everybody likes to come down here during September and then drive back up to Georgia when it's their time. So $140 across the board, that should be it, because we have disabled veterans, widow, they're paying $140, that is on Social Security, they can't afford $140. So what makes it any right for an RV person that travels here every once in a while to pay $46?
And we all get your point, but we're not going to settle that at this time.
Okay.
But it's something that it can be looked at, and it can be changed or left the same after this meeting. After that meeting, but I appreciate you coming out and stating how you feel.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any comment on this issue? If not, I believe that we have a motion by Commissioner Page and a second by Commissioner Dix is on correct. Is that right? Okay. Alden?
Excuse me.
Yes.
Is this for C?
This
or
is for D. This is for D. We've already approved C. So this is for D.
Oh, 46. I'm sorry.
Any further discussion? If not, yes, go ahead.
They're fogging the throat. Let me give you a little historical perspective on this $46.67 for RVs and hunting camps. I remember when we implemented this change from $140
down to one-third of $140. Because we had a number of landowners who had maybe 10 acres in the woods, and they let, they had one RV on it for their hunting camp, and then they let Uncle Jim put another one here, and Aunt Susie put another one here, and we had properties with maybe 10 hunting camps. Well, 10 times 140 is $1,400, which costs this individual who owned the land. And they came up here, and RVs were included in that release that we told them were granted. So that's a little history behind it, because we've got properties that had multiple hunting camps on one property, and it's to be right inspection. And hunting season only lasted about 3 months in a year. What bothered me about this, worse than anything else, is the people that live there full time. And they get by with the 46, 67. We need to, and another meeting, as you said, we need to take a look at that. If it's a legitimate hunting camp, a legitimate RV, the $46 doesn't bother me. You've got a family living there 20 months a year with children in school, and you live there full time, you need to pay the $140, just like I have to pay.
That's right. And
so Mark Wiggins, the tax collector, is supposed to police all this. Mm-hmm. This is a big county to get around, he's going to miss a few. So, if you know of one, tell Mark about it. He's got staff over there that goes out and checks it. And they show up several times and find somebody living there all months in a year, and then he can fix it.
Has he got the power to fix that?
I think he does. Mm-hmm. He's got a staff person, I think, mm-hmm. that checks stickers on RVs. And I know one time I had an RV on a lot down to Cedar Island. And I was paying $140. My son had an RV, and in Wisconsin, and he decided he'd put it down there and put it on a lot, you know. But it just happened to be the week when Mark sent his person down, and so I got the tax bill. Says, you got two RVs. Well, I did that week. Stayed there about a month. So I wound up having to they locked out of my house. You want to put this RV here, you can buy water, that's all right. But you got to pay that $140 if you get assessed. So that took care of that problem.
Well, we set the policy and we passed the ordinance, and then it's up to somebody else to, not us to enforce it, it's up to somebody else to enforce it. And that's just like with my family, we own rentals, and there's been times when we went months where we didn't have anybody in one of them, but we still paid the $140. So it's hard when you've got sometimes you've got people there full time and sometimes you don't. But like you said, Commissioner Page, if you've got somebody that's really living there, the children are going to school somewhere, then that's pretty obvious. They should be paying the $140. And the $140 is not a lot of money.
In Leon County,
for some people it is.
In Leon County, I'll tell you exactly how they check if you're living there or not full time. It's from your fire bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually
yes.
Leon County, they use the fire bill. They did me that way, but they said I wasn't there full time, so I had to pay. My insurance was going to go up because I had to fund that and half it out. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
I have contacted Mark Wiggins' office, and their response is Tucker County Commissioner.
I understand where you're coming from, but I'm just wondering what
their response is. But we don't enforce. We don't enforce.
Thank you for bringing it forward. Now, I think we still have to vote.
Yes.
Any other discussion? And if not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say sign. Motion carries. E. Adopt the final budget for fiscal year 2018-2019. And that was $44,912,696. Is there a motion?
Motion to second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Anybody from the public? Any other commissioner? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say sign. Motion carries. And I do believe that concludes this meeting. So is there a motion to adjourn?
Move it, sir.
Motion and second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign, motion carries. All ordinance needs to stay, because we got documents in our office.
All right, excuse me.
Pass your pen along, so we can all do the same thing.